Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Well, you're recording?
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to the Rosecast, the number one Bachelorette recap podcast hosted by a male interracial best friend duo. To our knowledge, that could have changed. I haven't been keeping up with the competition. Stick around for the end of this episode. You think it's going to end on a dour note because the real life episode did.
Mm-hmm.
We have Refer a Friend Month.
Oh.
Winners to announce.
Wow.
10 sticker winners and one t-shirt winner, the grand prize. Right?
Yeah.
Is that? I didn't go back and check and see if that's what
that
I feel like that's right.
That sounds right.
And I got to tell you, though we appreciate everyone who referred friends, very much appreciate, makes a huge difference. You got pretty good odds to win. The odds are pretty good. I'll put it that way. Anything else to say, B, before we get started?
I don't think so.
Sorry this is late.
Let's jump right in. Let's get into
it.
Really,
not that sorry, but...
I had a great week.
So did I. So did I. I loved not having to do this right away. I loved it.
On Facebook, it looked like some shit popped off. I didn't read into it, so I didn't know exactly what had happened. But it looked like some drama went down based on what I saw online. But I didn't read any articles or anything, so I didn't know exactly what happened. I was just wiped my hands free. I had no clue what happened. Didn't care.
Get on
care
the log
in the world.
Yep.
Not a care in the world. Let me hop on this ride.
That's what I... very glad you were out this week. I watched it live on Monday. Didn't take
any
notes.
Okay.
I just watched it.
That's a good one to watch live with no notes. Just in the moment.
I was just watching it, and I thought... this sucks. I don't want to talk about this or think about this. That wasn't fun. That was awful. It just wasn't that fun. Now I'm feeling looser.
You feel good. Yeah.
And guess what?
Everything's fine.
Paradise is in like 9 days. Paradise is right around the corner.
You want to talk about fun times? You're talking about Paradise. And as I already told you, they're going to blow it out, Rim.
I hope so. The budget? What's the budget, AB?
The budget. They're blowing this thing out.
All right, let's get through it. We're probably going to go relatively quickly through Blake and Justin's hometowns. Don't have a ton of... We'll try to make jokes where possible, but I don't know.
I have 9 pages of notes instead of my usual 15 or so.
I was going to say, 9 is nothing.
Yeah. The notes are short.
I also want to mention we have a big mailbag. We got a lot of interesting Michael feedback.
Oh.
You forgot that was the question.
Well, it's been ages, years.
I'm not blaming you. I'm just saying we forgot the question.
Yes, I definitely forgot the question and what happened. Michael was so long ago in time and also with what happened. So
and we got some people texted in hot on Monday night.
Oh,
so we got some of those responses
that's good.
Too. We'll read those. First up, Blake hometown date. Quaint to be speaking of this. He did his best to bring Canada to the New Mexico desert. Okay,
Can I come clean about something?
Did you just fast forward through this?
No, I didn't know what happened. So I didn't fast forward through anything. I just knew something happened based on there was a buzz in the air online when I briefly checked. There was a buzz.
Was
I didn't
internet.
Know what happened, but I knew something big had happened. Okay, and one of our friends said it was the best. It's the most dramatic episode of all time, and they meant it.
Was the word best used?
No, they didn't say best.
I didn't
that
think
was a
best.
Slip
I
of
don't
tongue
think
by
anybody
me.
Said
they
best.
Said, I can't even remember what they said. Something about how it was the most gripping television they've ever seen, the last 30 minutes or something. So I knew something had happened. But I'm going to be honest about something else, Rim.
Yeah.
I forgot about the bubble situation. I figured they were flying somewhere else. I really did. This, it bummed me out when I realized, oh, yeah, they're in a bubble. They're
lame
not going downs. Anywhere. These are going to be lame. Yeah. I went in, I pushed play, I was thinking, okay, we're going all over the USA.
We're going,
and
to,
we're
Saskatchewan.
Going to Canada. We're going all over the place. Nope, we're just staying here.
We got two hockey jerseys and a carriage. They basically just had Canadian flags everywhere. This I was trying to think of what this reminded me of. It was Serena Pease. It was basically the
she
same thing
one.
As Serena
yeah.
Pease with Matt, where they just put Canadian stuff up inside and said, here's poutine.
And it was fun, just like that was. I thought this was fun. As good as you could do in given the circumstances, I suppose.
Blake used to bartend. He claims people just drink syrup out of brandy glasses or whiskey snifters, whatever you want to, whatever those were. He just casually mentioned that syrup is at his bedside table. Quote, we use this for everything. So I don't believe that Canadians just drink syrup. All the Canadians in the world could text into the text line and be like, no, we really do. We go to bars and order it, and it's $7.99 for a shot.
Won't believe it.
I don't believe it. I don't believe you.
Why would you order a shot of maple syrup? What sense does that make?
No.
And then, no, yeah, I mean, you, no, yeah, no. You don't have it anywhere. You don't just have maple syrup all over the place.
Not behind the bar.
That's silly.
While playing darts, Katie asks, are you good at darts? And Blake goes, this was nothing, but I've responded to it.
I noted.
Every Friday and Saturday, this is what I do. I go to the bar and play darts. And I thought, that's what you have to look forward to, Katie. Every Friday and Saturday, Blake goes to the bar and plays darts.
Blake, that's not a good thing, and that'd be something I'd try to hide. I would.
This is your life, baby. This is what you're signing up for.
You get to sit back and watch me play darts.
Sit up. I might teach you.
And this is coming from a dart guy. I like darts.
Love darts.
I love darts, but I like darts in moderation. Okay, it can't be every single, it can't be too much, Blake.
No. Balloons on the dartboard, each one had a questions. One of them said, would you move to Canada? She says, it's always a possibility.
Wishy-washy answer. Yeah, was
politician answers.
Yes, I did not get the feeling she would move to Canada. I mean, they're not, no one's moving to Canada. You do this show, and then you move to Los Angeles. You don't move to Canada.
Or New York.
Yeah,
that's it.
That's it. Those are your two options. So no, I'm not moving to Canada, and you aren't staying there. Okay? That's just the rules.
Well, I think Blake might stay there. The guy loves the outdoors, but he will only live there part-time because he soon will have tenure on this show. Well, he will just, every other season is on in some, yes. He'll be on more than Wells. They ride a mechanical bull. They make out after falling out off. They put on Canada jerseys and play hockey in the driveway.
Honey Bear on his jersey, Honey Bee on her jersey.
I did not notice that.
Honey Bear.
Surprised it wasn't some syrup reference. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Greg is watching from afar, or purported to be watching from afar. I'm not sure I believe. I'm
okay.
Sure he saw them.
You don't believe it?
No, I'm sure he saw a glimpse of their date because he said he did.
Yes.
I'm not sure if he's watching from the balcony, all I ask is that you put it in the same frame as the date. So I can see okay. that it's happening at the same time. That's all I ask.
Yeah, we want one.
I want one shot.
One
of
shot of him seeing it. All one shot, please.
That's all I ask. I believe that he
I
saw them
it,
on
though.
The date.
I believe it.
But I'm not sure if that was the scene that he saw them on the date. I don't know.
There's not all that much room here. They're doing all this stuff. They could easily, I can believe it. It's believable. That's all I'm saying. It's believable that he would see them on the date. I didn't question it.
He did. I'm saying that what they showed was not.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Nighttime, unless you have anything else in the daytime portion.
No. No.
Blake's hometown, nighttime. He's got his mom, Emily, sister, Taylor, somebody named Cody, probably his brother. I didn't note.
He was a hoss. I know that. He was a tall drink of water rim. He was big.
There
boy.
Were a couple of tall drinks of water on this episode.
He was a big mountain man, I'd call him. Okay. I did never figured out who he was, though. I figured it was his brother-in-law. That's what I thought.
It might have been.
But he didn't say anything.
So Blake's family has zero reservations about any of this. They're not surprised he made it this far. This is his job, after all. He's good at it. This is what he does. He goes far on the shows.
This is what he does. It's almost funny to most of them. They're making jokes about, you know, you said the same shit about you said
really
this about
your
all
stride
these,
now, year yeah, three? Year,
the third season, you really figured this thing out, Blake.
This was typical family intro talk. If you're new to the show, hometowns, you sit down with the parents and the family, mm-hmm. and then you go, well, we're actually much closer than you might think. We had a one-on-one date. And also, mm-hmm. when they came out of the limo, that's when our relationship really started. So they try to justify the lunacy of what they're doing. They're like, yeah, it's actually absolutely. A real relationship, yeah. just FYI. Just, and I'm like, okay.
Just a heads up. I know you don't believe in this at all, but we have had a one-on-one.
We had a date.
Just to be clear.
You know how serious that is? We had a date. It was an afternoon portion
Mom
and
Dad
a night
who
portion.
Have been married for 30 years? You understand we had one date, right?
I need somebody to get a hometown without having a one-on-one again. It's been yeah. too long.
Yes.
Blake's mom, Emily, is with Katie. Blake says they align on their outlooks of life. They're perfect mm-hmm. for each other. I think he said the same thing about his previous two, but, you know, whatever. We're not here to nitpick. We like the guy. Blake's mom, yeah. Emily, and Katie. Blake's mom is concerned it's just an infatuation. I know my son is blazing hot Canadian mountain man, but is there more there? Are you really digging deep?
He's got the syrup in the nightstand. You know how it goes down with Blake. I know how it goes down. Okay, but is there something more?
You like the maple? You a maple gal?
I know how he does, but...
You seem sweet, wink. Blake likes it sweet.
Mom.
It is his mom. That's kind of the vibe of the conversation. Yes. Obviously, you want to get with him physically. For real. He's the man.
For real. He's
you see how his beard's trimmed? Obviously, you like him for that reason. But what
the
else?
Man puts it down in the sheets, and we both know that, okay? We both know
Listen,
that.
Look at him. Look at him. They don't make him like they do in Alberta. Katie says neither of them have said they love each other, but they both know they can get there. She says it doesn't feel right to say it while she's dating multiple people. The old school bachelor rule. This is the old days.
I appreciated that. I love when they don't yeah. say I love you. That's what I'm looking for.
Well, especially when you don't know who's going to win. Unfortunately, I feel like we kind of knew who was the lead dog the whole time, but when you really don't know and they refuse to say the L word.
Yeah. I don't know why it's not part of their contract. Like, you can't say I love you to anyone. That should be. And I thought it was until now they're throwing it out to three or four people a season. So I'm glad they're reverting back.
Yeah. Blake's sister Taylor with Blake. She's got to razz him a bit. She's like, hey,
fun. They're having fun.
This is the
fun.
One now. Remember Claire? Borderline obsessed with that girl before you even met her.
You didn't meet her.
Now two bachelorettes later, we're doing this anyway.
To be fair to Blake, the bachelorettes are always great, so it's easy to understand why you'd fall in love with a couple of them. It's no shame.
I am agreed. You got to understand. I feel like I'm Blake's sister, too. I'm Raz.
Yeah,
it's
we're
all
just
in
having
good
fun,
fun
with Blake.
It's
just
all
fun
in good
with Blake.
Fun. What if somebody else has already said, I love you, Blake, she says, and she said it back? Mm. Taylor getting into the competition aspect.
Good question.
In a way that a lot of families don't. She's like, hey,
dummy, don't blow this.
You're losing ground.
By holding back here. Don't blow it.
She's worried he'll be blindsided if it's not him in the end. I said he won't be. He'll be fine. He'll just be the lead of the Canadian version, or he'll just hop on Michelle's season. There's nothing to worry about.
I would love a Blake Bachelor Canada. That would be the first overseas show that we recapped for sure.
I'd recap in lieu of the American version. I really would.
Absolutely.
Blake would,
yeah. Absolutely. Yep.
I want to see the scenery, most of all.
Mm-hmm. It'd be beautiful.
A lot of lakes up there. A lot of coastline.
He would do it in a cabin. They wouldn't have a... Yeah. You'd sleep outside.
You'd have to sleep outside. Group dates would be campouts.
Yes.
Blake's mom, Emily, and Blake. Emily likes Katie. Can you see her as her wife? She asks. Can you see yourself proposing? Blake says, no question. That's what I'm here to do. I'm ready to go. I got my knee cocked and ready. She borderline demands that Blake tell Katie he love her.
He said, man the F up and tell her you love her.
Blake's mom tells him how proud she is of the star he's becoming on this show. Come on. Gotta lighten it up.
I noted that. She said, proud of the journey you're on. What journey are you talking about? He's been on a wild ass journey that no one could be proud of as a mother in the last
Unless
year.
Unless you look at it as like, you always said you were going to
be
TV
famous.
And now you are.
Yeah, that's the only explanation, because his journey to find love has not been
haphazard.
Yeah, it hasn't been good.
Blake kind of amping him. So his mom and his sister are like, you got to drop the L-bomb tonight. It's time. You do
you
it outside do it. The Tahoe, they said. This is when you do it.
When you get out to that Tahoe, you tell her you love her, period.
Otherwise, you're done.
Yeah. Yep.
So Blake's amping himself up to tell Katie he loves her outside the Tahoe. They're kissing. He doesn't tell her. Were you surprised by him not telling her?
Yeah, I thought he was going to.
I thought he was too.
He feels it. I don't get the situation here. Just tell her.
I know. We're making jokes. They do have a fabulous connection.
Absolutely.
They get along great. I think he really does like her.
I think he loves her. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't think he loves her, but you're supposed to say it anyway.
Okay.
Here's a quote from Blake. The word love, it's a scary word to use. The way she kissed me, if things keep going the way that they are, I'm going to try and do his cadence. If things keep going the way that they are, I see myself getting engaged to Katie. It had the cadence of a classic bad Blake prediction.
Yeah.
Like the good old days.
Yep.
I think if me and Tayshia go on this date, she'll be overwhelmed by my personality and want to meet my family. Anything else on that date?
No, just a good date. Everything went well.
Bad date coming up. Justin's.
Yeah.
Hometown.
It starts on a sour note rim. Holy cow.
This was mean to... I think this was mean to show. Hey, Justin, your parents don't buy this shit.
Did you believe that was why they weren't coming? See, I kind of thought it was like, why are you calling us now? You told us like a week ago you have no chance and not to worry about any sort of flight. So we planned something. Something planned.
We're having people over
we
tonight.
We talked to you last week on the phone, and you said you have no chance of winning and no chance of getting to hometowns, and you have no connection. So why are you calling me on the phone and putting me on blast now like we're abandoning you, Justin? That's the vibe I got.
I can believe that. That's very plausible. The quote from his mom, her and his dad got on the phone. They're lecturing him about how silly this was, and he had on speaker, first mistake. You know your dad and I will support you, but, huge but, I find it difficult to understand how anyone can get to know someone in this short period of time to propose. Justin's like, yeah, I mean, no, it's a Cinderella story, Mom. What do you want me to say? I'm not
you
supposed
still
to
be
here.
You still got to be 16 here.
16 seed in the final four. Luckily, two of Justin's friends were interested in free airfare to New Mexico, so he's set. The Baltimore hometown in the desert. You know, listen, this was lame.
This is whack.
Yeah. This was whack.
There's nothing. There's nothing to it.
Here's the suggestion I have for these types of hometowns. If you're going to tour around, they were taking a horse-drawn carriage around the area, the desert.
Yes.
Make some big printouts of famous city landmarks from Baltimore. So you can point, or personal landmarks. This is where I went to school, blah, blah, blah. Mm. So you can point and talk about them and have conversations that give you background about who you are, rather than just, you're just riding around going, do you like blue cheese? Nothing. It's not a hometown.
There was nothing to do with Baltimore here.
Except for the seafood.
I'm with you. That'd be a good idea. Just, you know, landmarks, stuff to talk about, stuff you would go to if you were in Baltimore. Just, it ain't rocket science, just
it is
do
simply
the stuff
not rocket
you were going
to
do if you went to Baltimore. Just put something up that shows her that, and then you talk about it. Well done, Rim. You really thank thought you. That through. the best ideas you've ever had.
Oh, wow, thank you. Low bar. Justin tells Katie his parents won't be attending. My parents were not going to make it and won't be able to make it, he says. Katie's response made it seem like she knew that, like she was told.
She knew.
Yeah, she knew.
She knew. Yeah. I mean, we knew Justin wasn't going to win. We know this. That's something we've always known. It's a miracle he's here. But the parents not being here even solidifies it somehow even more. I've never been more certain of something than Justin not winning. So you guys are going to get engaged and his parents won't even come meet you on a free trip. Not happening.
No. Justin hometown nighttime. Justin's friends are here, Herb and Sam Decker. I was 6'8".
That was a big six, man.
6'8 and lean.
That man was lean.
I didn't get his real name. Honest to goodness, I did not.
It was Tommy.
I never wrote down his. Okay, Tommy. Justin explains to his friends that Katie's the right one for him. All right, just trust me on this. Katie says they get stronger every week. Herb's never seen Justin so affectionate. PDA is not something he's into. The way I see them interact, it's possible Katie is the one. Herb's got a long...
Herb and... These two guys don't give a shit about this rim.
They
they're
don't
just
care.
They're just here. Listen, these two were drunk. I'll say that. These two were both drunk when it started. They're here for the vacation.
They probably wait for four
Nothing
hours.
They're not here for anything else. They don't care about this. They know it's the. They came here
Herb
for
tried.
The free trip.
Herb tried. He put on a good advice face. But
sure.
Everybody knows the deal.
We're standing in place of your parents who wouldn't come because they don't think this is real and you want me to believe that you two
are
about
blessing?
To get...
Yeah, fine.
Yeah, what do you want? Herb's blessing? Is that what you want?
Katie and Herb, we're still going to run through it. Katie tells him she's ready to settle down, and Justin's always himself. He's a great kisser. Then Katie tells us, the viewer, that she's saving the L word for the final guy. Justin worried some other guys might be further along. Justin's other friend.
Yeah, Justin, they are all further ahead, including a bunch of guys that went home, Justin, are further ahead.
I think I meant Herb. Herb might have said that, but the point remains.
Okay.
Justin's other friend says Katie brings it all out in Justin. He's normally reserved. Yes, Katie, if Justin proposed, could you see yourself saying yes? I do believe we can get there.
I have noted here, this seemed like a job interview from Katie, just, you know, saying what they want to hear, getting through this.
Interviewer is like, hey, let's say this happens. What would you do? Well, you know, I'd work with the team members to find the best. Yeah. It's possible we can find the solution. All right. So you're bullshitting.
Okay, so you're bullshitting here.
Herb and Justin. Herb was kind of holding Justin's feet to the fire about the L word. So afterwards, Justin was nervous about telling Katie he loves her. Here's the quote. As much as I'm trying to fight it, I know I'm falling in love with you. They kiss. What did you make of this?
I thought it was a bad hometown overall. What do you want me to say? Start to finish, bad hometown.
I think Katie, in terms of this... I think Katie was happy for Justin for saying that more so than she was happy he has those feelings for her. It was like a congrats on overcoming this hurdle. Like,
you'll be ready for the next one.
Him expressing that feeling was not.
Come on. Justin thanks the pals for coming. Herb takes a giant sip from his private stock in cocaine coke and says, I'm going to miss it for the world, pal.
Yeah,
that's what he said.
Great time.
He took a huge sip. I've never seen a darker drink. You never see a dark, dark brown on here. It's always
it was like a mojito or
something like that. No, this man had a dark liquor, okay? These two were getting fucked up. They were here to get fucked up. That's all they were here for, okay? They had a great time. Thank you, Justin. I bet off camera they dapped up and like, can you believe we got here? You did this. You got us here. Thank you so much, Justin.
It's been so long since... drinking has been like an element of the show that I forgot to even look for that.
Yeah. It was like the two, Katie and Justin had the normal drinks, like, you know, either a wine or like a mojito or something like this, something light. But then the two bros had dark Coke mixed. It was a rum and Coke. I know a rum and Coke when I see one. That man had the first rum and Coke I've ever seen on this show.
All right. Anything else on that other than the drink orders?
No. I wouldn't miss it from the world, pal. That's what he said. That's when I knew Herb was on some shit. He wasn't here.
I wouldn't miss it for the world.
He took a huge sip. Thank you. I wouldn't miss it for the world, buddy. Thank you.
All right. Quick break.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Greg hometown. This is where
the voices
change
octaves.
Yes. Well, not quite yet, but this is a transition scene. Greg feels like, let me start off with a joke. Feels like he's in a great spot with Katie. Greg does. What's not in a great spot are the 5-inch inseam shorts he's got on with a baggy top. You can't have those with a baggy top. It looks like you're getting them for a snack in the middle of the night. That's my take on those. He's still kind of reeling from seeing Blake and Katie on their one-on-one the other day. He grew up in Jersey, so they ride around on the tandem bike, which neither of them have done before. Has nothing to do with Jersey. Maybe they're doing it on the boardwalk. More likely, I think it's just all the regular bikes are rented for the day. So some pork and cheese sandwich. And they ride the surfing version of a mechanical bull. A lot of mechanical bar rides on the hometowns.
A lot of bar rides going on here. A lot of bar rides. Yep.
Up next, they play basketball. This was a little
this
full
was something.
Circle.
This was something.
Do you remember what Katie and him did on her first date?
No.
Imagine it was the first one-on-one. Well, it was something that her dad...
They went camping. They went in on a camping deal.
That's right.
They didn't stay overnight or anything, but they did a bunch of camping activities. They had the bucket, pooping on the bucket, fishing, all that stuff. That reminded her of her dad.
God, I miss those days. Simpler days in the Greg and
Simpler
Katie
days.
Relationship when they were pooping
days.
Buckets.
Yep.
So, Katie showed Greg something her and her dad used to do on their first date. This is the same thing for Greg. His dad coached him in basketball. I'm going to do a lot of quotes from here on out. The biggest part of my life with my dad was basketball. Mm-hmm. I haven't really played since he passed. Heavy.
Yeah.
Used to use basketball as an escape, especially with his dad. I wish he could have met you, he tells Katie.
You talk about basketball players and hoopers, Rim. He picked up the ball. The way he picked up the ball lets me know he's a hooper. Greg's a hooper.
How do you do
I
it?
Know. I can't even explain it. But when you see a guy walk
best.
On the court with the ball, like he's holding, he's like picks it up, got it underneath, dribbles
so
it
he
a
didn't
couple
break
times.
His stride.
No, he it just, was so comfortable how he picked up the ball. You know he hoops. Okay, I know Greg.
Well, I told
hoops.
You the stats. The guy did numbers.
Yeah,
double double, Domantas Sabonis type of player. Katie says, to me, it means a lot that Greg wants to share that with me. He is turning a page in his life and is ready to find happiness.
Oh, also, Katie has a terrible shot, jump shot, terrible jump shot. Greg needs to get into coaching because then Greg kind of teaches her how to shoot and she instantly flick of the wrist.
Really?
The form changed. Greg changed her form instantly. He needs to look into coaching.
I would watch a Bachelor or Bachelorette basketball 5-on-5 with like former contestants, mostly leads who hoop, and especially
I
current couples.
We should,
you know what I mean?
We should put together a list of the best hoopers and put them on a team.
Yeah.
I bet you could have a good
Rachel
team.
Rachel Lindsay, a point guard.
Yes.
Distribute first. We could go on and on. There was a dude who was on the Harlem Globetrotters. Not enough
Harlem
to talk about that.
There's been tons of Christian D1 guys. Yeah.
Anyway, back to... That would be fun to do something fun with the show.
What's his name? DeMario absolutely hooped. Remember when DeMario
was going
DeMario
off? Yeah, he was.
Absolutely, before he got his shit blown
to a hilarious end.
Yes, but he was hooping.
His mom, his older brother Joe, and one of his friends is here. Says, Greg, I don't think they've seen me truly myself the last couple of years. This ends. They got not one, but two uses out of the rain machine on this season, both with Greg.
Now I have a drought issue, Rim. I mean, what are we doing with the
sun?
Now it's bothering me a little bit. What are we doing with the rain machine here out a second time? This was unnecessary. They did it for too long. I got a problem with it now.
There's like a fire raging in the background on the mountains.
Come on, with the rain machine the second time.
That's fair. My thing was, where was the rain machine? They pulled the camera.
See,
there was nowhere to be found.
I was also looking for a gigantic rain. I mean, it's not just sprinkles. This is an absolute downpour that this machine puts out, and they scanned out. They must have had it on a crane, like way above
it
the tree.
It had to
tree.
Be on a crane, but
they
even were, then, I'm
they
not,
showed
how,
the
what
whole
do you plug
tree.
It in?
They showed the whole big ass tree, and there was nothing. The rain, where it was coming from, was not. You could not see it.
I agree.
Crazy.
They make out against the fence on the basketball court. When I was watching the first time and kind of half paying attention, I looked up and I was like, wait. Did it just start random? Was this like a spot of like a heavy rain cloud passed over them right as they were talking about Seattle? I was so confused because there was nowhere to be found. Anyway, anything else on that?
Greg says he's falling so hard for Katie and it's a feeling he hasn't felt in a long time. That's the end of it.
I will go deeper into this later.
Okay.
But there were, especially on the rewatch, every quote was almost like, we'll get into it more later. Let's go through what happens in the hometown. Greg keeps repeating, like you just said, that his family hasn't seen him happy since his dad passed. This is one of the most important days of my life. Now, a lot of contestants say that kind of stuff, but in this context of I haven't been happy since my dad died, it gave it a different weight that I didn't. A weight that was too heavy.
Agreed.
Intro banter. Greg's mom asks about his limo entrance. His mom says, we've really missed you. And she's looking at him longer. She's kind of looking at him like, we know you're struggling right now. Mm-hmm. We've been worried about you being on the show, what this experience will do to you. That was the look. I'm obviously reading into a lot of stuff
but everything,
it was like, you're all right?
Everything everyone said was, this guy has not been himself since his dad died. So going on the show would be, you know, worrisome for everyone around him. And that showed.
All the quotes were like that.
Yeah.
Everything everyone said was like, geez.
This guy hasn't been himself.
They pull out a family photo. His dad's in it. His sisters couldn't make it, so they made him a video. One quote from his first sister was, I'm super proud of you. I hope you had fun, but I hope, above all, I hope you're happy. The focus, like you just said, from Greg's family members seems to be on Greg finding happiness in his life rather than...
Yeah.
They're not concerned, like, I hope you found love. I hope the Bachelorette was the right fit for you. It's like, I hope you're doing better.
Do you think Justin's parents declined doing a video message, too? They're like, no, thank you. We're good.
Can't get the Zoom to work.
We're good. We don't want to do that.
No, they were cooking dinner for the night. They were having people over that night.
They couldn't even do the video message. That's if you think
really
that.
Can't be bothered. Thanks for breaking this up, AB,
with a
little lightness. Greg's brother says Greg hasn't been happy in a long time. Hopefully Katie, I have this in quotes. I can only assume he said this verbatim. Hopefully Katie is the piece that he's missing. That's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, agreed.
That maybe Katie doesn't even feel yet, but she will eventually. And it's a lot of hope that his family members are putting in Katie, unbeknownst to her, that she can fill the hole in Greg's life.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. Anything before Greg's brother and Katie?
No, I just feel bad for calling him sad this whole time. That's really fucked up of me, personally.
I have more. I will. I will rebut that later.
Okay.
I don't think you should feel too bad about that, because again, remember, we're watching a show. All we can do is go by what they're presenting to us.
Yeah. Yeah. I should have thought about that though. Maybe there's some other stuff going on, you know?
I don't think we knew how recent it was. Do you know what I mean? They might have mentioned it, but it wasn't emphasized.
I had no idea.
Greg's brother and Katie. Katie mentions they both lost their dads. His brother says, you might have been the first person he talked to about that.
Wow.
Things like this with hometowns in the past, if someone would have said that, and honestly, the first time I watched the episode live, someone says that, I think, wow, that shows how close the contestant and the lead are talking about things that they don't talk about with others. In retrospect, I felt like this was fire alarms going off, and maybe his brother trying to say without saying,
he
shouldn't have been, like, he's not even talking to us about this. He shouldn't be here type of, like, that's
okay.
I don't look at that as a good thing.
Okay.
Because now Greg has tied himself to Katie in a way that he hasn't even grieved with his family, it seems.
So maybe he's not in the place to be here.
He's doing it with Katie.
Yeah.
He's not in the place to be here. He's doing it with Katie, who is in relationships with multiple other people at the same time.
Yeah. Wow.
Quick note.
I hadn't thought about that. That is interesting.
I just feel, watching this on the second time, I just feel like maybe his family should have, like, stopped him from... This is not the place to seek the fulfillment he's looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Greg toasts with his friends. Well, see, this is in poor taste. Now I'm going to make a joke about how one of his friends looked. Greg toasts with his friend Michael Phelps. The guy looked like Michael Phelps.
He did. All right? I mean, what do you want us to... You want us
to look like Michael Phelps.
The guy looked like Michael Phelps.
Greg told her he was falling in love with her. He thinks she's feeling the same way, even though she hasn't said it. He's probably right. Greg's eyes are watering in this conversation. He even mentions the big takeaway here is that she said she's going to move to... They've talked about it, and she would move to New York. This seems like a done deal.
Yeah, he says something... It's going to be me and her when asked, you know, is this... Basically, is this serious? And he's like, yeah, it's going to be me and her. I've never heard them say for sure to their parents, like, I'm going to win. That's basically what he was saying here. It's like he is very confident that he's winning this season at this point.
Greg's mom and Katie. Katie appreciates how honest Greg was right off the bat. He's confident. He's humble. Here's why I like him. Then she says, I hate to use the word front runner, but Greg is someone I have a strong connection with. Mm. Greg will be here next week, she says to his mom.
I haven't heard that either.
No, you've never heard that. But Katie, I think, probably senses this whole time that Greg is nervous about.
He needs a little, you know.
He needs extra.
A little validation here, yeah.
Reassurance, as they say. So she's doing, I think she did this with his mom, assuming that his mom would, like, pass that information on to him in some way. I don't know. Another quote, if he wasn't here, I don't know how confident I would be in this whole thing. Nope. She's making it very clear that Greg would have to royally...
Yeah, he's gonna win. Yes, he's gonna win. As long as something dig a miracle for Blake to win.
Greg's mom asks if she's in love with him. Katie tells her what Greg said. She just wants to save the L word for the final person.
Mm-hmm.
Mom's happy to see joy in her son again. Greg and his mom. Greg tells her, I'm in love with this girl. She fills me up. I haven't been this happy in a long time. His mom is pleased by this news. The only hesitation he has is he doesn't want to get down on one knee without knowing for sure she loves him and only him. Greg and Katie. Katie says, hey, your mom told me she hasn't seen you this happy in a long time. Greg says, this was the big Greg speech. You ready? You interested in hearing me repeat a lot of it?
Yeah. Yes.
Greg says he lost a major piece of himself when his dad died. He's really struggling to get through this talk. He's pausing and crying. I haven't been this happy in the longest time. I didn't know I was going to fall in love with you, and I am in love with you, and you make me the happiest I've ever been. I see it with you. This is real to me. Two things about that last portion. I think that was an indicator he was trying to tell her, like, cut it. I'm ready. We don't need to keep going with the show.
Yeah.
I really love you. I think you feel the same way.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Cut it. We just saw Claire's season. You can cut it if you want, if you feel that way. Second thing is, it was really hard for me to not make a reference to the video where the wrestling fan goes, "It's still real to me, damn it." I just, so I'm going to say it without saying it. He goes, "This is real to me," and he's crying, and I thought, that is just like that video.
Listen, all our jokes going forward, and probably for this whole episode, are said respectfully, and...
they're unrelated to the events of the episode.
That doesn't relate to that, but that's funny.
That's funny. That's funny.
Okay? That's not in the story, the Rim and AB Rimcast story, but it's on the side in little print that you can read if you're interested in some funny commentary.
It's a footnote. Greg says, "This is real to me," and then you got the number at
the
top
number.
Right.
You have six.
Yeah, and then you got a little. You go to six at the bottom
then you go
of the page.
To six. Yep.
And then in 2 points.
This
less,
is tiny print. You can't read
tiny
it.
Print.
You can't read
tiny
it unless
print.
You're looking for it. Okay.
Yeah. Tiny print. It goes. Remember that video where the wrestling fan was crying and said, "It's still real to me." Damn it. And then you get a giggle.
Yes.
That's
and
it.
Then
you go
on.
Back to the
then
story.
You go back to the story. Okay.
Katie wipes his tears. All right. Greg keeps going. That might have been the last joke I have the rest, so I don't know if I've made a big deal of that, but Greg keeps going. I think he thought, like, after that big first part, he was like, "She's going to do this, and then it's it.
She's going to say, 'I love you.'"
Yes.
Back is what I think he thought. I don't think it was relayed to him at this point that she has told multiple people that she's not going to say, "I love you," either. That's kind of on his
mom.
We didn't
see that, but she has told multiple people, "I'm saving the L word."
Yeah, she told his mom, right? So
she told his mom.
Yeah, I don't think his mom told him that.
And I don't think after this speech, it would be weird if Katie said, "I'm not going to say the L word yet." We'll get to that in a second, but I think that would have been a weird like that wasn't the time to tell him.
Yeah,
here's
no.
I'm holding back because I have a rule. Anyway, Greg says, "I haven't been this vulnerable with anybody in my entire life. I don't know what else to show you at this point. I'm not going to get down on one knee twice." Katie's kind of just looking at him. There's kind of a quick burst, like giggle, like kind of a little
the giggle,
chuckle.
Yeah, nervous giggle.
It was a nervous giggle.
I don't think she knew what to say.
No,
she knew she had to say something.
She wasn't laughing at him.
No.
Or giggling at him.
No. That was a nervous giggle.
Greg goes, "What?" Greg's mad at this point. She goes, "I just love looking at you." Kind of, I think she had her hand on
it. No, just to be clear, she did not say anything, at least what they showed us. She said nothing in response to him saying, "I love you." Okay?
Yes.
That's where we're at.
Greg is upset. I think he felt embarrassed.
Very upset. Yeah.
He was embarrassed and annoyed by this. Katie says, "Yeah, you know, it's tough. I told your family you're here next week. I believe in this process. It's going to be hard.
Hang in there.
But at the end, it will be worth it. This was code. This was obvious code for I'm picking you.
Just chill."
Yes.
Hang in there. When you tell someone to hang in there, that means you got it
in
the bag, pal.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you wouldn't say that.
I agree.
Because you don't say, "Hang in there, I'm going to dump you next week." That doesn't make any sense. "Hang in there, you're the winner. Let's just do this." There's a lot of formalities we have to go through here. You have
bullshit.
To go meet Neil Lane. We have to do the fantasy suites. We got to do a couple more dates. You got to meet my family. All this stuff. Hang in there. Come on.
Yes.
Come on.
I agree. I think that's
all
what
that
she
was
saying.
Come on, pal. Don't blow this up. This isn't a big deal.
I think Greg expected her to react the way she would in real life. So pretend this was a real life scenario. And he said all that. And she's not dating a bunch of other dudes. There's no show. There's no one else in the room. There's no cameras. We're not watching. I think he expected her to say everything she really felt.
Yeah.
I think she was stuck in show mode. I don't blame her for that. She was trained to be in show mode. She's been in show mode this whole time. It's a habit. You're doing it with all these families, all these months. Maybe in her mind, she's thinking, I can't make it too obvious that I got to say it without ruining this. I also think Greg was fully out of show mode as if he was just talking to her.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that attitude he had seeped through and made the rest of this interaction really sour. Like he said, "Let's break show mode.
Let's,
I love you. you're it for me.
Now you break show mode too. And she didn't want to.
No, she had no interest in that.
No.
And I think he was shut for the rest of the... I think he was done with that and done listening for the rest of the week after this.
I mean, let's be honest. She did not respond how anyone would want, show or not, though, right?
Yeah, there, like, there are ways on the show to respond.
We have made fun of people for how they respond to I love you in the past. Or in, like, you know, it's always something like... When they say I love you and they say, oh, thanks, or something like that, that's not always great. But she didn't even acknowledge it based on what we saw.
What we saw.
So maybe more will come out and she did acknowledge it more. But based on that, I think you're onto something there with the show versus she was in show mode. I almost think like she was trying to think of what to say and she just froze in the moment. Like she didn't want, like, she was stuck in show mode.
How do you respond
mode.
To that? What he's saying was so heavy. It's more than just, I love you. He's like, my dad died. You're filling the hole my dad left in my life. And she's like, she's probably thinking, holy shit.
Yeah, I think she just froze in the moment. Also, all these things probably running through her head, like, you know, I have these feelings for him. I can't ruin the show. They told me not to. The producers told me not to say I love you.
They're right
there. I got this contract.
The camera's right here.
I have, you know, all this stuff. You never know what's all going through her mind. I think she had so much stuff going in her mind. She just froze up in the moment. And it's understandable why Greg was upset by not getting any sort of acknowledgement there. But I think it was also pretty explainable how she reacted.
Yes. Agreed. Another factor that may have affected her response in ways I can't comprehend. Katie lost her dad too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how that affects her in situations like this. He was so effusive about her filling that role or that hole for him. She knows probably that hole's, you can't fill that hole. So maybe she was taken aback by him saying, you filled the hole. And she's thinking, I had that hole in my life. A relationship doesn't fix it for you.
Does not fill that hole. Yeah.
So maybe she was like, pulls back a little bit. Whoa, dude.
Yeah.
The rest of this interaction was just sour. He, I think, was acting a little childish. On the one hand, like you said, I get it. He just spilled all that and her reaction made him feel embarrassed. On the other hand, you know, like, dude, you got to remember the TV show.
He just never
That's part of this.
Could jump back into... That what the actual situation was this entire time, including the next day, he just never could jump back into reality on what, you know, the person that he says he loves. He couldn't see it on her end ever.
Yeah.
And jump back into, hey, this is a TV show, all this stuff. But we'll touch on that more.
They had a moment in a dark room. They might have thought that there were no cameras around. Who knows? Katie was talking about how this is hard for her to do with all the families. Mm-hmm. Greg says, this was the biggest step in the world for me tonight. I just don't understand how you don't know at this point. Like we said, the reality show rubbed up against reality. They were in different worlds at this point. Katie made it pretty obvious to him. After the initial quiet response, I think she made it obvious to him in so many words over and over that she's going to pick him. She said everything other than I'm going to pick you. But
agreed.
I think Greg was done listening.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
They walk outside to the car, do a breakup hug, a light smooch on the lips. Anything else to say before we get to the next portion?
No.
Okay. Blake and Greg chat.
Blake, not a care in the world.
No. I'm going to go get a workout in.
Not a care.
Have you seen my creatine?
He hasn't thought about anything. He has not thought about you, Greg. He hasn't thought about Justin. He doesn't care what's going on those dates. He's doing him for these next couple
him.
Days. I went first. Now I get a little me time, little Blake time. Get the maple syrup out.
He's looking at Greg like, it's probably going to be you, but, you know, who knows? Anything could happen.
Hey,
it's early.
Yay. You ever heard of underdog before? The ultimate underdog is Blake. Me.
Greg goes to Katie's room. To the camera, he says, it's clear to me she's not feeling the same.
Disagree.
Obviously.
Disagree, Blake.
I think,
or Greg.
Greg's at Katie's room. A lot of quotes coming up. Then we'll debrief.
Do you think, before we jump into this, when you watch this the first time and he walks into the room, what did you think in terms of what Greg wanted out of this conversation? Slash, do you think there's anything that could have been done to save it for him? Is there any scenario where Greg ends up, you know, happily with her at the start of this conversation? Did you think there was any chance, or did you think it was over?
I saw previews for the season.
Sure.
I thought, based on those, I thought this is done.
Hmm. Okay.
While I was watching live, when I watch live, I just kind of see what happens.
You're just in the moment.
I'm just in the moment. Yeah. Then when I rewatch, now to answer the question you asked, on my rewatch and with the knowledge of what happens afterwards, I think he went in there.
Yeah.
There was nothing that would move him to change his mind. He went in there set. His decision was made already.
But you didn't think that when you first watched, probably.
I didn't think either way necessarily.
Okay.
I had a feeling they weren't going to get together. They weren't going to reconcile because there's only one, you know, because of the logistics. There's only one episode left.
Yeah.
I thought, okay, well, this isn't happening. Anyway, Greg says, I just wanted to talk about the other night. Katie says, you still seem nervous. You don't seem comfortable. You don't seem happy. Greg says, you seem fine.
That's when I knew, okay.
Yeah, exactly. That's when it was like, all right.
Okay, this guy's not
interested. A little bad attitude here.
That's not how you start a constructive conversation, pal.
That's not how you fix.
No.
You know, he's implying she doesn't care enough about him to be upset. Because that's the attitude he's going in here. She doesn't love me.
Yeah. That's what he thinks.
Which we know is like wrong.
Yeah, just flat out wrong.
Wrong. Couldn't be further from the truth, actually.
You couldn't be more wrong, pal.
First, before we get into this, a quick reminder. If you're new here, we are two regular dudes.
I just don't know. We aren't equipped for this.
We are not relationship experts.
No, we're not psychologists.
We started doing this to make each other laugh while joking about The Bachelor and Bachelorette. I don't have a PhD in everything, and I never will. Do not give our opinions on this any weight whatsoever. They are not deserving of weight.
We're dumb as hell, too.
We are. I am dumb.
You're dumb.
Do you have any idea the number?
I'll say this, Rim. People. Yeah,
I'm not done. I got a whole thing about how dumb we are, but go ahead. I got it written out.
Glad we're on the same page in terms of how dumb we are, especially related to this. We don't know shit about this.
I don't know shit. I just want to make Abby laugh about the batch. This, we are not fucking equipped.
I feel like people, after I watched the episode, I looked in the Facebook group a little bit. People are really thirsting for what we have to say about this. And it's like, okay, well.
That scares me.
We're dumb as hell. We're not going to. What we say here. Is mostly.
Let's just end the episode. Let's just end it.
What we say here next week is not going to be what
we
don't know anything.
We don't know anything. I can't stress that enough. Our opinions are no more educated or rational.
Mostly,
or
our opinions are based around humor when it comes to this show. So, in terms of, you know, what these people were going through, I don't even want to talk about it.
I don't even know.
Just remember we're dumb. Know. That's all.
Just remember.
That's all.
I think, and maybe this might be me talking out of my ass, a lot more people listen to the show than when we started. We are so thoroughly grateful to have grown an audience to where a lot of people listen to us and care about what we have to say about the show.
Absolutely.
That makes no difference. You probably know more.
You're probably wrong. Is the problem
more relevant experiences in life? Just because we're on a podcast talking about it doesn't mean we know what the fuck we're talking about. That should be the intro to every episode. We know what the fuck we're talking about.
You should play that. Yeah, you should play
just
that.
Just try to make
at the start of every episode. We don't know what the fuck we're talking about.
We don't know what the fuck we're talking about. Also, I'm not looking for. I've been dreading talking about this. I didn't want to talk about it because it wasn't fun to watch. It was awful to watch. So why would it be fun to talk about? I hated this. And if you're looking for, again, the last thing I'll say, if you're looking for the opinion of a smart person, you've probably already sought that out. We're late a week. There have been plenty of clinical psychologists who have discussed this that I don't have that expertise.
Mm-mm.
Anyway. Thanks for listening. For a friend month at the end of the show.
Now let's get into this.
Let's
do this. let's give our opinion. Yeah.
Let's weigh in, AB. Here's what I'm going to do. We're going to go through what happened. And then I have a 4-point takeaway.
Okay.
At the end.
Okay.
Reminder, it means nothing. So Greg starts and he says, I told my mom you were the one. I told my family that. When I expressed that I do love you, I felt like I was doing that to a stranger. So Greg is just, he starts off, he's telling us how he feels about something.
Sure.
That night, here I was thinking I was expressing my love to my future wife, and you just completely dismissed it in my eyes. He's still framing it as, this is how I felt about it.
Yeah.
Katie apologizes for it coming off that way, explains she hasn't told anyone that she loves him here. She wants to save that for the very end.
Yes.
Because she said that in that moment, I assume that she hadn't said it to him
prior to that. Yeah.
Greg says he understands you don't acknowledge what I said to you. You completely mowed over it. Pause. I think she did acknowledge it, just not the way he thought it would go down in his mind. Mm-hmm. Greg hints that he wasn't asking for her to reciprocate with an expression of love. He just wanted her to acknowledge what she said.
Katie notes here, just to note, Katie said, I didn't know what you wanted. Maybe I was trying to do more listening than talking.
Yes.
As well. So she was explaining, you know, her mindset as he was, I mean, he was talking heavy stuff. Also, he talked about the stuff with his dad and then kind of slipped in the I love you. It's understandable that she was just listening, like trying to figure out the best way to react to that, because saying I love you also probably isn't the best response either, because he's talked about all this other stuff with his dad and those feelings and how she's gonna it was just a lot. So it was understandable how she explained it, is that I was just trying to listen to you. You were totally opening up completely. I didn't want to cut you off or anything like that. So she explains it as she was just doing more listening than talking.
When people say that's a lot to unpack, it's usually not a lot to unpack.
This was a lot.
This was when Greg gave his speech the night before. That was a lot to unpack.
Yeah, absolutely.
And there was probably no response that was going to meet Greg's standards.
Not in a show. Not on the show.
Not on the show.
Yeah.
Not on the show. Greg says he thinks she's giving him a surface level response there, and he goes into something about how he doesn't care about the roses or the show because this is real to him. It started to take a bad turn here. Up until this point, Greg was saying, this is how I feel about, again, not a PhD, this is how I feel about your response. These are things I can't help. This is how I feel.
Yeah.
Where it took a bad turn for me was when Greg says, Katie, you're not listening. How can you sit there and say what's wrong? For you to sit there in that hallway and tell me that I'm the one giving up on us, it hurt so much. She didn't say you're giving up on us. She indicated she was concerned that he was, which is a reasonable concern given how he's reacting.
Yes.
It's obvious there's a disconnect, he says. As much as it hurts me, I've reached my breaking point with this. It was never about a rose this week. I was never asking you to confess your love. I was just asking for Katie. Katie says, so just this one time, you're done. I think an accurate way to describe, this was the first time they've had an issue like this.
Yeah.
It seems unreasonable for Greg to say, I quit because of that. And this is another indication that he walked in the room with no intention of resolving the conflict. Greg says, we're days away from an engagement. And I'm telling you, you filled a hole in my heart and you didn't even acknowledge it. Again, I think that's an exaggerated version of events. Katie's crying. He's about to cry. Katie says she's sorry that night went the way it did, and she's confused about how that can change everything. Greg, once he broke the seal on the, you're doing this wrong, you're doing this wrong, he kept going with it.
Yeah.
It's also hard to come off reasonable when you're so adamant about ending this is allegedly a serious relationship on the verge of engagement. Mm-hmm. You had one moment of miscommunication. Seems like not worth throwing the whole thing away. She says, you've been my number one since the beginning.
She apologized. I just want to note she keeps apologizing.
Multiple times. Yeah. She tells him, you've always been my number one since the beginning. This upsets Greg. He doesn't want to hear any show-related terminology. opposite of Hunter in that regard. Quick little break it up with a joke. This was also, in my opinion, a pretty big overreaction. She's saying the same thing you're saying, just in the context of the show you're all on.
You are currently mic'd up on a television show still. You aren't off the show.
No.
She's still on the show as well.
And in the context of she's dating multiple people, you're not. She has to have a list.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
That's how it works. That's, I mean, if you're dating multiple people, you usually have a thought on where everyone's listed.
Yes.
In your head.
This is how I feel this is going, Greg says. You were telling my family I was getting a rose. I was telling them you were the one. He's trying to create the separation between, like, my love is real, yours is just show love.
Yes.
When it's the same, it's, you know, it's the same thing given their positions. Who cares who's getting sent home? He says, if it's not real, it's not real. That's how you're thinking with this. That's what's going on in your mind. The fact that there's a list right now, that's hurtful to me, Greg says. He seemed just totally repulsed by the concept of the show.
Yeah.
Which is hard to believe because he was originally, as people have mentioned, he was cast for Claire's season. He should know how the show works at this point.
Yes.
Greg says, I don't think you get where I'm at. He stands up and looks at her. I'm so confused and walks out. Any comments thus far before we
I'll give my broad comments at the end.
Okay. Greg leaves after a beat. Katie goes after him. He's sitting outside, head in hand. Katie finds him, hugs him, says she's sorry. She's next to him. She doesn't know what to do or say. Tells him she's shocked and wants to leave. They didn't show Greg saying anything in response.
He was standoffish at this point, even more so than before. He wouldn't look her in the eye anymore. It was, I don't...
Everything outside was like, you're being a dickhead.
Yeah, absolutely.
Greg doesn't say anything in response. Katie asks if there's even a point if she's wasting her time. You don't even believe me. This whole thing was nothing if you leave. She was saying, again, a lot of things to indicate she cares for Greg in the way he cares for her. If that was what he was really looking for, there it is throughout. Instead, he gives her this, and this is where it kind of went. I almost rolled my eyes.
This is where it's like, okay, you're acting like a child here, pal.
Yes, yes. And I rolled my eyes for a couple of reasons. Instead, he gives some line about how he deserves, whenever you go, I deserve the, you know, he deserves more than what he's been given. I'm done here. The tail end of the outside portion just seemed fake to me. If you want to make the dig that he's an actor, this is where you would make it, and I think it's reasonable. He quits, and I say he quit because the severity of what he's reacting to was, you know, not that severe of an offense at all, if it was at all. He should be able to find it within himself to stay. Katie dips out to her room, cries in the bathroom. Caitlin stops by. This was the rest of the cliffhanger for what next week is the rest of the show. Any comments on what happened after
Katie?
The discussion?
We are left off with Katie being done with the show, basically. Now,
yes.
I'm kind of... It's weird to me. Why didn't she just end the show for Greg? I wonder, what do you think? Like, she seems like she's willing to end it. I don't know. Like, I almost thought she was just going to end the show, but then how he... Maybe it was just because of how terribly he was reacting, she realized maybe I don't...
Yeah.
I don't want to be with this guy anymore. Yeah. With how he's treating me and how he reacted. I guess that's probably answered my own question, but...
Yeah. And he wouldn't have... She could have ended it, I think. He wouldn't have cared.
He didn't seem interested. He was out. Yeah.
Here's where I think I fall in this. It's not exciting.
Yeah.
One thing that's kind of boring to remember but relevant, we don't know how this was edited.
Yeah.
Maybe she said a lot more and they cut it. Maybe he said a bunch of meaner stuff and they cut it. We don't know. That goes, when you get into serious stuff on the show, you have to call that out. Here's my first point. Greg seemed to be grieving his father much more deeply than we were initially led to believe. When they use deceased relatives on these storylines, it comes off like, wow, that's so sad. I feel empathy for them. I'm glad they've, quote, overcome that obstacle. I'm rooting for this person and their happiness.
Mm-hmm.
in this instance, I think it happened more recently than we assumed. And it seemed Greg came on the show for something, looking for something to fill that void when nothing could. He shouldn't have come on the show, and or he shouldn't have been cast. He has no business looking for a long-term partner right now. There are other things he should have addressed instead of putting someone in the position to fill the hole in his life. And frankly, I think the show probably needs to stop using deceased relatives as storylines, especially if they're recent.
Sure.
Do you have any opinions on that first point?
No.
Nope. Okay. When he did the I love you speech to Katie, I understand that puts her in a really tough spot. Not only does she have the show to think about, like she said, but maybe she's overwhelmed by the seriousness of what he's saying. You, this person I've been on two dates with, this person I've been splitting time with other guys, this person I barely know, you have filled the deepest hole in me after the worst 18 months of my life, and I love you more than I thought I ever could. Unbelievably heavy stuff.
There was just so much more weight to what he was saying than the usual I love you. Normal. That's the problem.
Like you said, what a bizarre situation for Katie to be in.
Impossible.
Another note about that, the show can say all they want about having, there's a push now to have like mental health professionals on set and people to help and all this stuff. The reality is, and always will be, they are not incentivized to help contestants with these issues. They don't want to help.
They wanted
Katie
this
or anybody.
This is what they want. Yeah.
They want the scene like this, the jarring breakup, they want the bad relationship guy. Do you think if they could go back in time and like make it so Luke wasn't so awful, they would do that?
No.
They like that.
Yeah.
And they like this. So I'm always reluctant to buy that what they're selling with these little like, we're going to be better. No, they're not. They're never going to be. Controversy sells more than fairy tales do. Any other notes on that?
No.
Okay.
No disagreements.
Okay. I hope I'm not. Next. In my opinion, the first part of their conversation the next day, Greg was in bounds. He was telling her how his responses made him feel.
Sure.
I think he was overreacting to something relatively small. It was their first and only miscommunication. Probably not worth dissolving the relationship over if you really want to marry this person. So maybe you start to wonder if he ever did. Katie, I think, did her best to meet him there. And I think she did more than enough to get the train back on track and show Greg that she cares for him the same way he cares for her. But I don't think he wanted to salvage it. He refused to budge. Where it really went haywire, and where I think Greg crossed a red line, is when his phrasing turned accusatory towards her. You did this. You don't understand. You did that. There's no rebuttal for that. He's not going to change his mind. Once he thinks like you don't get it, there's no, I don't know. There's no coming back from that for her. He was telling her how it really is rather than to take. She was giving him kind of new information.
He wasn't listening. Yeah.
And he didn't say, okay, thank you. This is what that means a lot to me. He said, no, you don't. Like, he's just writing it off. And not only did it seem like he had no interest in resolving the miscommunication, his tone grew angrier as the conversation went on, despite her attempts to show him she wants to be with him. Lesser factors that may have contributed. It's possible that Greg was motivated by preventing her from sleeping with Blake the week he proposes. On the show, it falls under the category of you signed up for this. He also, it's possible he's just full of shit and an actor.
Yeah.
And wants to be the next Bachelor.
Certainly possible.
I don't know. All I know is I didn't enjoy watching this. I don't. Once again, we're going to leave the season with a sour taste in our mouth.
I don't know that I'm going to have a sour taste. If this ends up with a fairy tale ending for Blake, I will still end up with a positive taste in my mouth. Okay. Tasty taste, okay? Everything you said, I got no problems with. My general thoughts on what happened is, in my head, it's simple. It's not, it's obviously over my head, in terms of what actually happened here. But the way I saw it as I was watching, Greg said something. He had reached the end point. He had, you know, opened everything up in his life. He broke down all the walls he wanted to, said this thing. He didn't get the response he wanted, so he felt embarrassed and angry. So then the rest of the show, he wanted to make her feel the same way, in my mind.
Sure.
He wanted to embarrass her. He wanted to make her feel bad. He wanted to belittle her.
Mm-hmm.
And he accomplished it. She said, even at the end, she said something about how her confidence is just completely gone. And that's how I took what he was trying to do, which is a shitty thing to do to someone. Especially someone you just said you loved.
Yeah.
Like, in terms of whose team I am, I'm Team Katie here. I just think the way he reacted, I agree. How it started, Greg was acting reasonably, I would say. But the further we got, it became completely unreasonable how he was reacting, especially to someone he just was saying he, like, if you actually love someone and you're in a place in your life to love someone, it would not trigger how you just reacted to her. He was acting completely childish. He was throwing it all on her, every single thing, even though she was apologizing along the way. Like, I'm sorry I made...
And giving him what he was asking for initially.
She basically said, I'm sorry for how I responded. I didn't respond appropriately. She said that to him.
And that was it.
And that should have been it. It should have been like, okay, that's fine. This was just how I felt. You've apologized for it. You've also basically told me that you feel the same way. He didn't want to listen to her either at any point. I just think he saw red and he was like, let me lay into her.
Let me win.
Let me
win this.
Yes. I have to change this because I'm going to be, I think he thought he was going to lose. I think he thought he was going home based on how he's responding.
Mm.
He wasn't really understanding the show. And then the way he acted just was not.
Well said. And you know,
wasn't acceptable.
The way when he was on the chair and she came out after him and she was next to him and this is kind of why I said it seemed fake a little bit. His attitude changed to where like he felt like he was had the upper hand again.
Yeah.
And he acted his tone changed like, I won this because you're trying to get me back.
Now you are the one.
Like you said,
I have
now
the power at this point. And that's what I feel like he was trying to do. I just feel like the entire thing was him trying to hurt her because he had felt hurt about it.
Well, he said that much more succinctly than I said, and you just said it better. So,
yeah, I mean, that's how I came away, was pro Katie, and I just did not feel like Greg was, that's not how you treat someone. And I feel like he was the emotion. I feel like he meant to be doing it too. I feel like he meant to emotionally hurt her. That was the goal of what he was doing. But maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
No, you're not. I the next day when Greg went to talk to her, a lot of that is inexcusable.
Yeah.
I don't know. I keep going back to, they shouldn't have fucking cast him on the show.
Yeah.
He shouldn't have wanted to come on the show. His family shouldn't have let him be on the show. Saying that someone fills the hole left by my dad who died a year and a half ago. This was once again a recipe for disaster.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've also been fed so many storylines, similar storylines, where someone suffers some tragic loss or has a tragic breakup and like coming on the show gives and it makes you feel good. But I don't know, you're playing with fire.
Sure.
A lot of things Greg said all season and what his family said in this hometown were, for lack of a better term, red flags. Like, holy shit, this is going to end poorly. Whether it ends poorly next episode or in 3 months, this is going to end poorly because it's not sustainable. So I don't mean to like defend Greg or just, I think this was fucking just bad and I didn't like watching it. The night, the end of the conversation, when he didn't get the response he wanted, it was all downhill from there for him on his part. Anyway, I don't mean to like steal the last word from you.
No, you're good.
All right. Anything else to say about that, AB?
No, I think we both said our points here. And
do you want to do the mailbag?
Well, first, can we talk about the cutscene, Ram? A little the funny ending to this. One of the funniest things I've ever seen. You didn't watch the end of it?
I didn't rewatch it.
They did, after what's coming up next, they did, to close the episode, a cut scene of all of Greg and Katie's favorite moments with funny, with like sad music over it. Should have had friggin' Arms of an Angel playing with it, Rim. They acted like this, that they both had died. That's what this.
This show doesn't have its finger on the pulse of anything. They can't be trusted to handle anything well. That is why I just.
No. I was laughing so hard at this. I was dying laughing. I'm just thinking of the producer that put this together and thought this was a good idea. Like, we care about this relationship anymore.
They
I've never even seen them do a cutscene like that. They did a 2-minute cutscene of their best moments.
Crazy.
Crazy. I don't know. I'm very interested in what happens on after the final rose. I'll say that.
Mailbag. Sorry to anybody I let down. 773-234-7794. Last week's questions. What are your thoughts on Michael, particularly as a potential bachelor option? First thing I want to mention, because we got some responses related to this. Any bachelor season with Michael would take place either in Ohio or with his kid on site. That's
there.
It goes without saying. We wouldn't praise him for leaving the show to be with his kid, only to say what a great thing it would be for him to leave for 3 more months. Six months later. It would be in Ohio.
That is an assumption that I've made, is if when he is the bachelor, his kid will be a large part, just like Emily Maynard. We saw her all the time.
They went to Charlotte. They rented a thing in Charlotte.
Yeah, they just did it where they live. But that's the only way he would do it, I would assume.
Of course.
If I know Michael, like I think I know Michael, that's the only way they're going to do it.
Jen from DC, regarding Michael's departure, both of you had reasonable takes, but I feel like you missed an important piece that seemed to make a difference for Michael. James is 4. He went through a long illness with his mom, and now she's gone. Death and absence for children at that age is confusing. So Michael is adding in the loss of the mom into the trauma of the kid, thinking he's losing dad too. That's a complete no-brainer. Also, I heard on another podcast a good point that if Michael really had a shot to win, that's at least another month away from his son. I actually think it would be more traumatic for him, and especially his son, to see him for a few hours or days on hometowns if he was just going to leave again for a few weeks. So he may have already made the choice not to see him or the family members, maybe flying out there again like the last 2 COVID seasons. And I wouldn't let them put my 4-year-old on a plane in COVID to go anywhere. Last thing is that parent guilt is real, even when you are doing your best and deserve some me time and self-care. If the children are in crisis, though, your needs get put on hold for that moment. That's the deal we make. Thank you, Jen. Any comments on that, AB?
I get no issues with anything they just said. I still think kids say shit all the time, and I don't think the kid was in crisis mode at that moment. And if someone would have just sat down and talked to Michael, I think he could have. I think he thought that the kid was in like this. This is going to start to really affect the kid. I'm not sold on that being the case there. I don't know.
Thank you, Jen. Michael from Spokane. I absolutely do not want Michael A. to be the next Bachelor. He's clearly a great guy and a father, but if the Bachelor follows their formula of casting 20-somethings who want to be influencers, I can't see a lot of those girls wanting to move to Akron to be a stepmom. Their poor casting will lead to another non-proposal or very short engagement, and while I do not want to see that sort of trauma inflicted on James, more so I don't want Ari to be the last successful lead. Thank you, Michael. 909 area code. While I wouldn't consider myself a Michael hater, I do hate the idea of him becoming a bachelor. I think he is a lovely, kind man who deserves a cool show on HGTV or something, but The Bachelor? Miss me with that shit. This show is already irresponsible about trauma bonding and emotional manipulation. He has a whole ass child to take care of, and I don't think The Bachelor franchise is a great place to him, for him or his son to heal. Also, all the women are going to have some sob story, and it's going to turn into a pissing contest about who's the most broken. Part of the enjoyment of the show is drama and silliness, and if everyone is so wholesome and good, where will we get the juicy bits from? I think it could bring a really heavy tone to the show. Thank you, 909. Camille from Seattle, Washington. Michael has the potential to be the greatest Bachelor since Ben Higgins or Sean Lowe, and we as a fan base need him. Fans have been complaining about the lack of maturity in specifically The Bachelor for a long time and often blame the women. However, I think we need to look at the Bachelors themselves. Can we really expect 23-year-old women to seriously consider marriage with Peter Weber, Colton Underwood, or Matt James? Just like the Seattle Seahawks, I believe the women, even if cast young, will rise to the challenge of their suitor. When Jason Mesnick was The Bachelor, his final two were quite young in their mid-20s, but they were so enamored by what a man Jason was and truly seeing themselves in a life that they wanted, that they rose to the occasion. I also think Michael has the potential to axe early drama in really entertaining ways. He has a perspective of what a real tragedy and suffering is and won't have as many somewhat superficial breakdowns played up for the camera. He is compelling television and will bring The Bachelor back to its former glory. Thank you, Camille. This is from Molly. I'm pretty flippy-floppy on Michael. Part of me thinks he's a chill, genuine dude, and the other part of me thinks he's just playing a part, especially with that corny pocket watch stuff. He sort of reminds me of Jason Bateman typecast as an untrustworthy nice guy. Like, I want to believe, but the unnecessary leaving reminded me of my actual fave Batch franchise single parent, Kenny. While I'm glad Michael was part of the cast, my new hot take is that maybe parents should not be on the show at all if the early sendbacks keep happening. My dad frequently had to leave for long periods of time up for work, and I even convinced my mom the house was haunted to get him back to return early. Kids are wild and miss their parents and say and do dumb stuff when they are away. However, maybe national TV isn't a great space for finding a spouse to co-parent a real developing human. Thank you, Molly.
Yeah, I hear you. I think people are thinking like it's super black and white, more so than it is. Like, I don't know, if I'm a single dad, I went through all this and I'm offered this opportunity of a lifetime. I don't know. I don't know that I'd turn it down. I feel like that doesn't make me a bad dad, yeah. And it doesn't make Michael a bad dad. I don't know. It's gray. It's a gray area. I think people are going too far each way on terms of Michael.
Addison, thank you, Molly. I do not think Michael should be the next Bachelor. He does not seem ready for another woman to replace his late wife. His reason for leaving early was an easy out because although he may have been genuinely falling for Katie, he got spooked and wasn't ready in the end. He definitely used his son as an excuse to leave instead of owning up to the real reason. Thank you, Addison.
Interesting.
317 area code. If Michael A were the next Bachelor, I would watch with bells on. I think it could signal a return to the Bachelor of Yore, a season that feels romantic and capable of producing an actual love story with staying power, assuming producers assembled a decent cast, which isn't by any means a foregone conclusion. But does he want it? Here's my opinion as a single mom who recently fell in love with a single dad. What I saw, they say they both listen together. That's cute. Thank you.
Thank you.
What I saw as a viewer was someone who was grieving his wife, who just didn't feel what he needed to feel for Katie to make it all work. Kids say mean shit every day, as you mentioned, and though it clearly wrecked him to hear it, it should not have been enough to send him home given the timeline if he loved Katie. The I have to go home for my kid thing is an airtight, impenetrable reason to leave that no person can argue, least of all a person without kids. I think he realized during the group date the night before that she was serious and was imagining a future with him, and that caused him to try and do the same. He couldn't picture it and sent himself packing. Thank you, 317.
That's a good one. I hadn't thought of that. Kids are the ultimate excuse to get out of stuff. It's one of the biggest positives of having a kid, honestly, is being able to use him to get out of stuff you don't want to do. So maybe that's just what he was doing.
Loving them and watching them grow and mature, being able to get out of social things.
Maybe he just didn't want to be there anymore and he used the excuse. Hey, I like
Greg Takes.
Oh, Greg Takes.
I got four of them here. This is KP. So Greg not only sucks, but needs to find a therapist ASAP. I hate him so much. Katie has gone out of her way to make him feel better every single time they've seen each other. Every single time, all caps. She's babied TF out of him. But because she won't say she loves him and set this boundary she set and done an amazing job communicating that boundary. But it's not good enough for him. He needs her to validate him and do what he wants when he wants it. I wasn't asking for a lot, Greg said. Saying I love you, this is all caps now, saying I love you is asking for a lot, Greg. You signed up for the show, dude. Grow up. Thank you, KP. 631 area code. I think Greg had deeper feelings than Katie, and when she showed him that, he believed her and left. Now everyone is turning on him. I think it's pretty disgusting how quickly people want to believe the worst of someone. Greg showed us who he was for weeks and weeks, but now the fans are turning on him. I am Team Greg. Thank you, 631. This is from Vanessa. Fuck Greg. AB was spot on. AB was spot on. He is a bad time. All caps. Thank you, Vanessa. Dylan in Michigan.
Fuck Greg. You know, I almost started what I said with that, but then I pulled back a little bit. I'm going to be honest. I'll be come full circle here. I almost said that.
I wouldn't. Greg. I mean, I'm reading it because I think it's a reasonable opinion to have. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I just don't think it's, I'm not comfortable at all. That's what I'm telling you. Dylan in Michigan, 100% Team Katie. Greg was totally anti-bachelor process and was totally out of line. Katie was trying to protect everyone by being cautious with the L word. Greg was incredibly cruel to her by leaving her lying on the ground and taking a bunch of shots at her on the way out. I hope Katie and Tayshia rip him a new, I hope Katie and Tayshia slash Caitlin rip him a new one out after the final rose. Biggest villain contestant since Luke P. Guy's perspective, Greg sucks. Thank you, Dylan. Ashley from Seattle. I think the Greg situation is super complicated, but is anyone else getting Peter K. and Rachel vibes from the Katie and Greg convo? Are we seeing that at all? Will it come out that this was edited to make Greg look more reasonable? Just a theory. Thank you, Ashley. I am unaware of any Peter and Rachel, they made that look better for Peter. I totally believe it because they obviously wanted him to be the Bachelor, so I just was unaware of that. Mm-hmm. This is unrelated Kwaku from Knoxville. Bad reception in the mountains, so it didn't come through last week. I think Wide Giannis takes his talents to Michelle's season, coming on midway and becoming an instant frontrunner, much like Blake did with Katie and Michelle did with Matt, for that matter. Andrew and Michelle would make a great couple due to their athletic backgrounds, positive energy, and great sense of humor. I know Matt brought this up his season, but the pressure for him to choose a black partner, but I would love for it to happen at least once on this show. Fact check me because I'm speculating. It's probably happened on Paradise, obviously never on a flagship show.
Yeah.
Okay. I think next week's question should be, give us your take, weigh in. And if you got credentials,
give us your take. Give us your take. Yeah. Obviously, that's the question here today, this week.
Just let us know respectfully, not trying to anger anybody. You can sense the fear in my voice as I'm asking for your.
I'm just terrified out here.
I'm just terrified. I just hope you started this by mentioning like people are interested in what we have to hear. That fucking scares me because I have no idea what I'm talking about on this topic. So 773-234-7794. Do you have a headline of the week, AB?
Yeah, I got a couple. The Bachelor names its first black executive producer in the history of the franchise, People.com, from 2 days ago.
Saw that.
Jody Baskerville, hope I'm saying that right, who has worked with the franchise for just under 10 years, will now serve as an executive producer. So that's good to hear. Other thing is sad news, Rim. More sad news for this episode. JP and Ashley, divorce is official. I was holding out hope that they would reconcile because I love that couple, but they are not. Sad. And Pilot Pete has a book. I don't know if you saw that.
Pilot is it Pete. A children's book?
Children's book. That's yep. Right. Adventures of Pilot Pete. Looks good. Hey, it looks good. We want me shit on Pilot Pete? I'm not going to do it. Book looks good. Artwork looks good on the front.
That's the
Pilot
key.
Pete.
That's the key.
The artwork is good on the front.
We'll update Batch Bracket next week. Stephanie C. and Sarah Grace A. are leading with 173. I imagine there will be no changes to...
Yeah.
Do you want to make a prediction for tomorrow's episode, I guess? I have a feeling it's just over.
Is it possible that Greg comes back?
No.
Okay. Now that that's gone, I still think...
You think she's going to pick somebody?
Maybe. Blake? I don't know. I go back to if she...
No fantasy suite?
She could have just ended it and went home with him. So I think there was still some... I don't think she was sold on Greg 100%. Do you? You think she was sold? I don't know.
My brain is fried.
I don't know. I could see it going either way. I'm going to predict that she picks Blake. That's my prediction. A bad prediction.
No such thing.
What's your prediction? Do you think they do anything? Do you think there are any more dates? Over under 0.5 dates.
Way under.
You can't go way under.
Way under.
Okay. So zero. There are no more dates.
It's going to be pickup. Yeah, no.
Okay. If there's no winners, that probably means Blake's in paradise, which is a win for us.
Okay. Wow. Spin that's this a positive, to a positive spin zone.
Let me swing this a positive way. And Justin. Well, Justin's he's not winning either way, late. So we knew he'd be there probably.
I think it was too late for him. I think he was there too long to film.
Oh, were they there too long?
Maybe for Blake too, yeah.
Oh. Never mind.
Maybe they can come late though.
Yeah, you never know.
Refer a friend month was all July. Thank you to everyone who referred their friends. It means a lot to us. That is the biggest endorsement you can give of the show.
Absolutely.
There's no better, higher quality way to grow an audience than referrals from people who listen. That means so much to us that you would do that, truly.
Absolutely.
So thank you for everyone who did that. We're giving away 10 stickers and one grand prize, a t-shirt. Message us if you're one of the winners, preferably through the same medium that you messaged us to enter.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I have all the ads here. I have all that stuff. So if it's been a few days, I'll reach out to you.
Okay.
Okay, the winners. I just did a spinny thing. We cut out a lot of time. I just did a spinny thing on the internet. Here are the winners of the stickers. Kate S. Hannah A. Colleen from the 206. Emily F. Tracy, Sandia, Paige, Emma H, Stevie S, Miranda H. The winner of the t-shirt,
ooh,
Jenny S.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Thank you, everybody. Everybody.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
It's a lot of fun. A lot of fun seeing those messages.
Absolutely.
And people are sending screenshots. It was funny, some of the conversations people would... It's always funny reading other people's yes. text messages to each other. It feels uncomfortable. Some of y'all should have blocked out some names, but I promise I won't tell. Thank you all for listening. Thanks for being patient this week.
Yes.
Anything else to say, B?
A little teaser, Rim. A lot of people have been asking how my Disney trip went. I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to talk about it on more Rim and AB this upcoming week. I got a segment scheduled here. I got a lot of thoughts. Okay. A lot of thoughts on our Patreon. Okay.
Patreon.com/Rim and AB. One of the great tie-ins.
That's a tie-in. If you want to hear it, you got to pay.
Cut the check. Thanks for listening. Talk to you later.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.